Rabbi Sabolsky, you are on mute. Rabbi Sabolsky, you are on mute. Rabbi Sabolsky, you are on mute.
Rav, you're muted. Rav?
Rabbi Sabolsky, you are on mute. Rabbi's on mute.
Okay, so about that. Okay, so when the Rishami says that we recite a bracha on one item, even though I may have had in mind to eat other items as well, the bracha has to be chal. The bracha has to take effect on the primary item, and if for whatever reason that didn't happen, then the entire bracha is null and void. You have to start all over again. So it wasn't 100% sure that Rishami actually concluded that way. Depending on what the girsa was, some Rishami had the girsa that it was a question to Rishami. Other Rishami had the girsa it was a statement to Rishami. And even if you assume it was a question to Rishami, it's not clear what the final halacha should be. But the Rishami does address this topic in one shape or form, either as a query or as a statement. But in the Bavli proper, there is no mention of this sugya itself. So most of the discussion we had in the last day revolved around birchas hanenah, different applications of the shayla in the realm of the birchas hanenah. We spoke about the person who dropped the vegetable. We spoke about the person who makes a cup of broad prayer offer on one cup of wine, and there are other people standing in the room with other cups of wine, whether the bracha takes effect that is, and all the wines, etc. But now we're going to move out of the realm of birchas hanenah into another realm of those brachas, where these principles of the Yushalmi are now going to resurface in somewhat of a different area of halacha. So take a look at the fourth of the Rambam Kamos. It's a Beis Yosef in Simen Kuf Mem in the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. So the fourth of the Rambam Kamos cultivated David Avudram Zal, Bilchas Brachas. Avudram was a fascinating sefer that was written in the days of the Rishonim. It was almost like a compilation of different issues, primarily related to Chos Tefillah, different shittas and shailas and a little halacha, mostly halacha, a little bit of lumdus, a little bit of machshava, all related to inyanim of tefillah. And every once in a while, he has a little bit of a side issues related to Yom Tovim. But here, a particular shayla that's raised in the sefer of the drum, a shayla, a question that came up in the context of Chos Tefillah. So, Kozer Rabbeinu of the drum, Zabachos Brachos, Shekozer Rabbeinu Gershom Rabbi Shlomo, on Maisesh Ira. So, he relates back to a story that occurred. Rosh Chodesh Teves. It was on Rosh Chodesh Teves, which happens to always, of course, be Chanukah. Shemotzi in Shnei Svarim. The Gemara says in the second bracha of Masechet Shabbos that when you have Rosh Chodesh Teves, which is always going to be Chanukah, there are two Svarim. When you have Rosh Chodesh Teves Chas B'Shabbos, then you're going to have three Svarim. I counted in my shul this week that we broke all the world's records in terms of most Sefer Torah taken out at one time. What happened was when it came to Psicha to get the two Svarim for the regular laning and for Basha Shkolim, so the team minion, the guy who runs the team minion walked into the shul at the exact same moment to take out the two Sefer Torah that he needed. So instead of opening the other closet, close gate, so I just take them all out together. So I take the Tzibar. So I think I had four Sefer Torahs. I said, I knew Minig in our Torah was reached. So the bottom line is you have to take out two Sefer Torah. It is, by the way, the only day ever that doesn't really have any Issa Malacha whatsoever. It's not a Shabbos, it's not a Yom, it's not even a Chol HaMoed, and there are two Sfarim that are taken out. When you have Rosh Chodesh Tevis, you take one Sefer Torah for Rosh Chodesh, one Sefer Torah for Chanukah. So the problem is that you're supposed to lay Rosh Chodesh first. The reason for that is Tadav Shehav Tadav Tadav Kodem. So you always read the one that's more common. And here they made a foul mistake. V'tar Shalich Tzibor U'pasach Shal Chanukah. So the Gabbai takes out the two svarim, but unfortunately they put on the shulchan talein the one for Chanukah first. Ubirech hakere alav, and the person who got the aliyah makes the bracha. He's about to start laying Chanukah. His kiruah tziba shata uveshamash chodesh eshel the cross rishayna. All of a sudden the tziba starts screaming out, "What are you doing here?" The guy's starting layom hashvi. He's supposed to start with abshomer and tzavus brei. So you're laying the wrong thing. So what do you do? So the following, this is what happened. So he stopped. The goal Sefer Torah, and he rolls the Sefer Torah. Ad sheyegia leparsha chodesh. So rather than taking out another, going back to take the original Sefer, he's already got the Sefer on the table. So he simply did a quick roll. It's not that far from Chanukah to Parshas Pinchas, and now a whole fight broke out in Shul. There are some people from that story, from that generation, Shemochichin shetzorech lachs levarach shenis apashas Rosh Chodesh. He said, you can't just roll the Sefer Torah of your parashas to Rosh Chodesh that start leading. You have to make a brand new bracha. Because the bracha that you recited on the Chanukah leining is not chal, doesn't take effect on the Rosh Chodesh leining. Why not? It's the same. This bracha, it's a couple of parashas later, a couple of seconds later. What's the problem? So yesh b'yan shador. So those people had two proofs to their position that it does not suffice just simply to make it, just to simply begin to lay. But the Gassin and Bishalmi perkates the Mavarchin. There's a Bishalmi that says, Hadid and Asif Pugla. If a person is holding a Pugla, Umivarech Alei, and he makes a bracha on it, Vuhulo Asaliyade, and it didn't arrive in his hands. Now, our initial reaction is, oh, this sounds eerily familiar to Ari Rishalmi. It's not exactly what it says in Ari Rishalmi. Ari Rishalmi says, a person made a bracha and he dropped it. Here it says he made a bracha and it wasn't in his hands. So what does that mean? Is this the same Rishalmi? Is this a different Rishalmi? Let's continue. So the Rishalmi, as quoted in this Avudram, says, Tzorach levruchei leiz mantininus. He has to recite a second bracha. Rotzoloyma. What does the Rishalmi mean, says the Sefer Avudram? Kevan shehivsik acha b'chaso, shenotlo min hakarka, chozer u'mevarech. What the Rishalmi means as follows. A person is making a bracha on his carrot. He drops the carrot, but he doesn't get another carrot. Just picks up that carrot, wipes it off a little bit, and eats the carrot. So that's not what we've been talking about. That's not the case in Rishalmi we've been discussing. We've been discussing the person made a bracha on the carrot, dropped the carrot, and it fell down the drain, and he goes to the fridge, takes another carrot. That's not at all what it says this Rishalmi, at least according to this interpretation. What the Rishalmi means to say is, he dropped the carrot, picked it up, and just continued eating it. So why in the world would he have to recite a new bracha, if that is what the Rishalmi meant? Af api shlo hifzik ela b'shtika. I'll tell you why, because there's a hefzik between the bracha and the eating of the carrot. Now we know the Gemara tells us in the sixth parak of brachas that if a person speaks between a bracha and eating, that disqualifies the bracha. The context of that Gemara is, the Gemara says that a person is allowed to speak if it's necessary for the meal. Let's say, for example, a person makes a mozi and then they realize they don't have salt. The person makes a mozi, the Gemara says they forgot to feed the animals before and you're not allowed to sit down and eat before you feed your animals. The Gemara says that if you make a mozi, and now Gavalt, you realize that if the animals, you don't tell you, keep quickly, go bring, go give some go food to the animals. That's not considered to be a hefsek. But anything else that's not me'inyan ha'suda would disqualify the bracha, would require you to make another bracha. So comes the Sefer Avudram and saying, that's what Rishalmi means, that if a person made a bar pre'adam of the carrot, dropped the carrot, and picked it up, so 7 seconds elapsed, that's considered to be a hefsek. That's a big jump that's called a hefsek. Where somehow we always think, in our minds, we have this image that a hefsek means the person starts to talk. We have this image that you can sit around and do, you know, for 10 minutes, and that's not a problem. So that may be right, but may not be right. So comes the Rishalmi, according to the Avudram, and says, no, you can't do that. Even a hefsek of shtika is a problem. Even a hefsek of picking up the carrot and wiping it off is a problem. That hefsek disqualifies the bracha, and you have to make another bracha. So comes the Avudram and says, that's what Rishalmi means. The Gamke Bekat. And if that's the case, that the Rishalmi is being mechadish to us, that even a hefsek b'shtika in silence is considered to be a hefsek. So gam kein b'kan, kevet shehifsek z'man godo b'shtika, b'ei shegol sepetera, havele hefsaka, k'gonim hefsek b'dibur. So says the Avudram, the amount of time that it takes you to roll the sepetera, even if you're, you know, strong guy, quick, agile gabbai, it's going to take a couple of seconds to roll from Nosso to Pinchas. That's the amount of time that it takes to pick up the carrot. That's a problem. Just as the Rishalmi says that a hefsek b'shtika requires a new bracha, so too the Chuskir Satera, a hefsek in shtika requires a new bracha.
So there's nothing to do with the fact that it's
a
different
bracha. Oh, very excellent. So far, according to what the Avudram just said now, the same halach would be too. If a guy made a bracha on Lady Bracious, he opens up, it's hard to make a mistake on Bracious, he opens up and it's Bracious, and he decides to sit and twiddle his thumbs for 5 minutes, and then start leading. He also have to make a new bracha, because just the mere fact, he was like, how long does hefsek and shtika? I'm not sure yet, but there is such a concept called the hefsek and shtika. Now again, in the Bavli, there's no mention of this, but that's what the Rishalmi is claiming, that's what the Avudram is claiming, Shai the Rishalmi, when the Rishami says that you made a bracha on the carrot, for lo asr liyada. Lo asr liyada means that you dropped it and you picked it up and started and wiped it off and ate this exact same carrot. So far, this avudrab, as fascinating as it may be, is irrelevant to our discussion. This has nothing to do with what we've been talking about. We've been talking about what we thought the Rishami said. But now the avudrab continues. The ode, the Gassidim Subi Rishami, says that avudrab, there was actually another line in the Rishami. I presented it before as it's the avudrab's pshat in the Rishami. No. What it says in the Rishami actually says, but the Avudrab learned pshat in that Rishami actually says it. But there's another line in Rishami. It's actually the next line where the Rishami says, this is the part that Tosfos quotes. Rabbi Zeira Boy, Rabbi Zeira raised a question. Rabbi, we weren't sure whether it was a question or a statement. Hai man de nasif tumusa, the person is holding this carrot, holding the turbans, v'nofel miyadei, and he drops it. Ma'al levruch eleiz man tinyunis, does he make a second bracha? Perush, this is what the second Rishami means. Higher to Musa the fun of. There are a lot of carrots, a lot of vegetables in front of him. Vinotal achas man, and he made picked up one to make a bracha. Vinofla miyado, and he dropped it. That's what Rishami wasn't sure. Is he required to make a second bracha if he eats another, a different carrot? So that's more our sugya. That's one secret our sugya. So which one, which pshat is the Rishami talking about? What's the story of the Rishami? Is the Rishami talking about you dropped the carrot and you picked up the same carrot and ate it? The issue was a hefsek b'shtika. Or is the Rishami talking about you dropped the carrot, it's not retrievable anymore, you picked up another carrot, and the question is, don't do it hefsek b'shtika. The question is the bracha tofes, the bracha take effect on the subsequent carrots? So the answer is they're both right, that there are two statements in Rishami. Oh, we're going to have to see what that is. We're going to find out a little later what that, if it exists, how long. Otherwise, Eilu Dabar Sof. There is going to be a time limit. We're going to see in a moment. So comes the Rishami and says both statements are true. There are two separate issues that are raised in the Rishami. One of them was the issue that Tosfos raised last week, the issue we've been talking about for the last two shiurim. And now the second one is this notion of Hefsek B'Shtia. So comes the Avudrab and says, according to both statements in the Rishami, both stories, both Chiddush with the Rishami, we have a dual problem when it came to Kriyas HaTorah. Let's continue on. That the Rishami, let's pick it up from the Hochenami. Let's go to the next line in the Avudrab, we'll skip a line. The Hochenami came along, is Kavim Ruchos Ozosa Pasha. So Chlach Solivarech. That since the person, when he made the bracha on Parshas, thinking it was Parshas Rosh Chodesh, he rolls a flag in. He's making a bracha on this Parsha, and he realizes it's the wrong Parsha. The bracha got canceled. The bracha is negated. He has to start all over again. So basically what these group of people in this shul were arguing is that what the Bakari did, that he just continued laning without a second set of brachas, was not correct. It was not correct on two grounds. It was not correct because it contradicted two statements of the Rishami. It was an issue of a hefsek b'shtika, and it was an issue of dropping a pugla and trying to be yotze the bracha on a different pugla, a different vegetable. That's not acceptable. Well, if he died, after this Rabbeinu Gerishim, Rabbi Shlomo, who was the one who was being quoted by the Avudrab, after he quotes this entire story, so says Rabbeinu Gerishim, ta'u, he says he thinks that those people in shul, again, it's not like we're talking about just a bunch of people yelling and screaming at the Gabbai. These are the real Tamil Chacham who are getting involved in this issue. Says Rabbeinu Gershom, Rabbi Shlomo, he thinks that the people who insisted that they make a new bracha made a mistake. They actually made a mistake, a twofold mistake. Both of the arguments were not correct. Ki hatam harishon batel, says this Rabbeinu Gershom, Rabbi Shlomo, the first concern that was raised based on the Rishami, that it's a hefsek b'shtia, he says that doesn't exist. That is just simply negated. Why is that wrong? He says that Rishami is not accepted la halacha altogether. As we've said many times, we follow things in the Rishami unless they're negated by a Bavli. So here argues with this Rabbeinu Gershom, it's a Bavli against it. What Bavli? The Bavli doesn't talk about this particular case, but based on something that the Bavli does say, it's clear that we in Bavli are not all that worried about a hefsek b'shtia. What is that statement of the Bavli? Halacha kirava. There's a whole discussion on Daf Lamed Tes in Brachas about what should be the same at Dvarim when you recite Hamotzi. Let's have a challah roll in front of me. Let's say Livyat Shabbos for a minute, regular Tuesday lunch, challah roll. and I put something into my challah roll. So should I recite the bracha first, or should I break off a piece of the challah first? What's the svar one way or the other? So on the one hand, it's more mechuban, it's more mekavedik to recite a bracha on a whole item, make a bracha on a whole roll. That looks a little bit more appropriate for the bracha than just to break off a little piece. On the other hand, if I make the bracha on a whole and then I start to cut the challah apart, that's a little bit of an unnecessary hefsek between the bracha and the achila. So which is better? So the Gemara is back and forth and back and forth. Which is more important? Is it more important that you should get a bracha on a shlema? Or is it more important that you should try to minimize the hefsek? That's what the Gemara says that on Shabbos, you're in a pickle. On Shabbos, you're supposed to have lechem mishnas. So that makes things even more complicated. Then the Gemara discusses what do you do on Pesach. Pesach, one of the matzahs is supposed to be broken. How does that play out in this scenario? In a regular Tuesday lunch, so the Gemara says, halacha is like Rava, mevarach lechachach b'tzeya. You make the bracha first, and then you cut off the little piece of the challah. And the lovash v'yidin shtika l'havsaka. Well, why don't we consider that to be a hefsek? The cutting of the challah is a hefsek. The answer is, nah, it's shtika. Lo shtam ruba lo shtam u'etes. Just as Rava says, it doesn't bother me for the couple of seconds that it takes to cut off the piece of the challah. It's a hefsek v'shtika, big deal. So too, the couple of seconds to roll the sefer Torah don't matter either. So as Jackie says correctly, even though so, there's no shear. Once you tell me that you're not worried about a 3-second hefsek, why are you worried about a 15-second hefsek? There's no difference. And therefore, in one fell swoop, Rav Gershom rejects that whole first issue of the Yerushalmi. So again, remember the Chachmei Ador, those people who were insisting on the second bracha, were insisting on two counts. Number one, they thought that just hefsek b'shtik is a problem, but they had a second issue as well. The second issue was the second case of the Yerushalmi, you drop the carrot and pick up another carrot. Says the Rebbe Gershom Hasheni Batel Gam Kein. He says, by the way, the second reason is also null and void. The Da'as HaRaivin, the Pasuk L'Kula. Remember from last week, we said that these Rishonim had the Girsa, that it's a Sofik in Rishonim. We're not even sure what Rishonim said. And the Raivin, already predated these Rishonim, said that we can be making on the Shaila. We don't have to be worried about this concern of you made a bracha on the primary item and therefore nothing else gets schlepped along. That principle, Rishonim, is simply not accepted. And he brought a proof. Whatever's in front of you, the bracha relates to everything. Remember, on Friday, the riot was the case of Kiddush in the daytime. The Gemara tells a story that Rav Ashi was making Kiddush, and there were a lot of people sitting around, and Rav Ashi, Kiddush in the daytime, made a bar priya gofen, and somebody started to drink before he started to drink. So came some of the Rishonim, Rav Tam, the riot, and said, wait a second, how could that be? If Rav Ashi's primary bracha is on his cup of wine, and everybody else is kind of schlepping a secondary, how can the bracha be chal the secondary before the primary? The answer is it's not true. There is no such klal as primary and secondary. A bracha is chal on anything and everything in front of you. When I make that barbi dama, I mean this carrot, yadam carrot, all the carrots are equal footing. So if I drop one carrot, what's the big deal? So that's the same idea that these rishonim are saying. Hachinam yaseve torah kamei v'dai talel chalapashas aksuvus bo. So he says that when you make a bracha, sheva chamarik olamim, you're not making a bracha only on these words in front of you. You're making a bracha on gracious to say some bracha on the entire sefer Torah. So the halachic equivalent of dropping a carrot and picking up another carrot is the same as opening up the sefer Torah and realizing, whoops, we're in the wrong place. Let's just roll in a couple of seconds. That's okay. So basically, what this Rabbi Gershom, Rabbi Shlomo said, is that the two issues, the two Yerushalmis that the Rishonim were picking upon to insist on making another bracha, they may both be right according to Rishonim, but neither of them is accepted. One is rejected outright by Rava, and one the Raivin says we don't really follow either. So the whole thing is not true. But now the Rebbe Gershom goes even a little bit further. But Rav quotes just one step even more. So gam im lo gol o sefer Torah atzma shebirach latchila ala pasach sefer Torah acher. Remember, in that case itself, so the Bakari was trying to think quickly how to save the, you know, as it is, the people were annoyed, they're trying to get to work. So the Bakari tried to quickly what to do. So he rectified the problem by simply rolling the Sefer Torah very quickly. But it's possible that one would have thought, well, let's put that Sefer Torah away, let's take out the other Sefer Torah. So that gets a little bit more complicated, right? It's a different, besides the issues of whether it is or it's not, what's more of a covenant to the Sefer Torah, we have another issue over here. Svara that when I made a bracha, the bracha takes effect on everything in front of me. Everything in front of me means all the parshas in that Sefer Torah, or it means the other sivitar also. So that's not exactly the same as the vegetable. In the case of the vegetable, I have 10 carrots on the table. I pick up one, make a bracha. So you want to tell me, like the Raivin and Rabbein Adam, that the bracha takes effect on all 10 vegetables sitting on the table? I got that. You want to tell me that the lech equivalent of 10 carrots is 50 parashas of the Sefer Torah? I got that also. But you want to tell me that the lech equivalent is the other Sefer Torah? Wait a second. I made a bore. I made a shemach abanu on the Kriyas Torah, and you can tell me now. Oh, by the way, that bracha is tofis on the other Sefer Torah being held by the other guy who's sitting behind you. That's also true. Not so simple. So in the case of the Sefer Gesh, in the case of the story that showed they quickly rolled the same Sefer Torah, so one can argue that's covered by the original bracha. So says Sefer Gesh, you know what? Even if they would have gone and taken the second Sefer Torah, he thinks that may also be good. What's the issue? So, that's a whole different ballgame. The Sefer Torah is very, very complicated because the question is, Eileen, was a Yotzu with Eileen? Can I make a bracha upon Sefer Torah? You mean you made a bracha? You made a bracha? Okay, that would be, okay. I mean, yeah, that would be a similar kind of a scenario, right? Okay, I mean, because then you have to take out a Sefer Torah out of the Urim Kodesh. Here he's going to argue that maybe the second Sefer Torah that was taken out already, that we're going to see in a moment. Where do you draw the line? What's called in front of you? So it comes up with Rama continues. So, a few ela pasav Sefer Torah acher, yesh panim lehet there. One could argue that's also okay. Ki achash yotzi osam shev Sefer Torah yachad likros osam shev parashios. Since the Maisa, when the Gavai took out the bolts of the Torah, everybody knows it's Rosh Chodesh Chanukah. So they took out bolts of the Shem in Hayom. It's today's laning. So it's true, one is for Rosh Chodesh, one is for Chanukah. And it's true that one is this parasha, one is the other parasha. It's true, one is the Torah. But at the end of the day, come on, this is today's laning. Yesh lomer the manchi kamei, maybe one can argue that's considered to be in front of you. And that's all considered to be included in the original bracha. B'chein yatzah ha'ra b'chabur b'irein v'kal shaynay. Says the Ben Gershom, in our city, so I have no idea where the Ben Gershom was from, in our city we discussed the Shiloh, and the conclusion of all the Rabbanim in our Shiloh was that in fact not to recite another bracha. So we had Machlekes, the two cities, the city where the story actually happened, where the Rabbanim and Shul that day paskin yes to make another bracha, and they said it based on two different Yerushalmis. And when Rabbi Gershom got wind of the story, he consulted the Rabbanim of his town, and they said both of the reasons of Rishabu were not correct. They're both rejected by Halacha, therefore it would be a bracha matal to recite the bracha. So now the Beis Yosef is going to try to get it the last word, or at least try to get it the last word. The poskim poskil kahadin the hadinas terusa luchumra says the Beis Yosef. Wait a second. One thing is clear from all the Rishonim that they're comparing it to the Rishami. So how do we poskin about the carrots? So says the Beis Yosef, if you go back to Siman Reish Vav, you'll realize that we paskin, most of the poskim assume that the guy who was holding the carrot drops the carrot, now he wants to make a, wants to eat a new carrot. We paskin that you have to. So the Nasiv Tamusa L'chumrak, which is Babi Siman Reish Vav. So we who paskin, L'chumrak B'siyat Nishmaya, says the Beis Yosef, he hasn't written this yet. This is Siman Kuf Mem, and he's telling you what he's going to write in Reish Vav. I guess he already knew the foreshadowing of what's going to happen. Well, the feed of Ram, according to those we showed where we pass in the halacha, that you do recite a new bracha of the carrot, by of the same Torah, tzorach lach levarech, that you would therefore have to recite a new bracha as well. Kibo shahora anshe adorahu, like the original group, like the original shul, udalo kamen agashim rabbi shlomo. Unlike this, notwithstanding this big critique that rabbi agashim rabbi shlomo had on this first daven, the first rabbi, the first shul, the Beis Yosef thinks that ultimately, we're not at all convinced that first group was wrong. In fact, the first group was probably more correct, that we actually do follow this Yerushalmi. If you drop it and then you pick up a different one, we are concerned about the issue of a primary bracha. So one thing seems to be pretty clear from all these Yerushalmi, from the story, from the Vidram, from the mitigation, from the Beis Yosef's comment, is that there's one issue. It's one fundamental issue. It is being applied in different areas of Ilchus Brachos, it's having consequences in Ilchus Brachos HaNenin. It's having consequences in Ilchus Brachos Kriyas HaTorah. But the fundamental question is the same question in Ilchus Brachos. When a person recites a bracha on item A and there are other items surrounding him, how far does that bracha go? Do we say that the bracha is primarily relating to A And if the bracha gets messed up vis-a-vis A, then the bracha gets lost. You have to start over again. But do I say this almost this general, you know, floating kind of a bracha? It's on anything and everything that's around. Once you accept that notion, it's kind of on anything and everything that's around, then you have a further question. Where do you draw the line? What's called being around? So here, there, even in the story itself, in the Rebbe Geshem's response to the story, we saw that he wasn't 100% sure. Do you draw the line as being around only that Sefer Torah proper? What about if you take out another Sefer Torah? What if you haven't even taken out another Sefer Torah? He didn't even address that issue. So at what point do we say, Atkan, even we who are willing to expand and extend the definition of my bracha is on anything and everything around, what's called around? To make a bracha here, another Sefer Torah, and another shul. I mean, there's got to be yesh gubud davar at some point where you say that the buck stops here. So we're going to hopefully have to fine tune tomorrow what that means for us in halacha. But there was a totally second issue that kind of got swallowed up in the sugya, and that was the issue of hefsek b'shtita. I mean, that issue, that was the first issue in the Rishalmi. Those who showed him first claimed that there's a whole new issue called Hefsek Mishnika. So that Rabbi Geshem Mamash Machta, that he totally rejected. He said, nah, come on, that's not true. We pass like the Bavli, that Mevarach Mechach Betzeh, you can make a bracha and then cut the bread afterwards. Doesn't that prove that there's no such thing as Hefsek Mishnika? So we have a couple of loose threads still left from the Sugya to determine how this really plays out for us, the Halacha, both in terms of Bichsanen and in terms of Bichus Kriyas HaTorah. And then just to go back to that first part of the Rishami, or at least that supposed first part of the Rishami, about the notion of Hefsek Mishnika, does it exist? Does anybody pass like that? What, if anything, would be the cutoff point? Obviously, there has to be some kind of Yeshu Bul, Hefsek Mishnika for 1 second. At what point do you say there is even a concept of Hefsek Mishnika, and how much of it means anything for us, the Halacha? So we still got a little bit left to this sugya. We may get signed to next sugya as well. We'll see where we're up. Okay, but just again, just a reminder. So there's no shir on Thursday or Friday. Got to be out of town Thursday and Friday, right?
They felt the state of the Kadim was more important than Brachalavatala.